I want to appreciate God for today and for you that we're all here. January, a Sunday in January has ended, and God has count every one of us to be alive. We are not just alive and believing to live, we are also healthy. It's a great thing that God has done for us. And forever and ever, we must remain grateful. Glory be to God. We continue with our study. We're taking part four today. My new dawn experience or my new dawn era. Part four. My new dawn era, part four. Our text. It remains Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Remain our text. Shall remember ye not the former things, and consider not the things of old. 19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. The new thing God said he will do, you will see it in your own life. Amen. You will not just be clapping for testifiers, you will be one of the testifiers. Amen. God will do in your life that will provoke others to join you and give God thanks. Say amen. Amen. This year, if men must gather in your house, they will gather for thanksgiving. If they must gather for you, they will gather for celebration. Amen. Of your breakthroughs, amen. Of your blessings, amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. God said he will even do the impossible. I will make rivers to come up in the wilderness or in the desert. He will make away the wilderness and bring rivers of waters in the desert. He will be doing the impossible and you will get it. You will be a partaker in Jesus' precious name. We have defined it over and over that a new dawn is a divine turning point in the life of anyone experiencing it. A point where the old stop. What men know you to be. What men know of you. Some of them can even confront you and look down on you and say to your face as if you are in an entity, you are nothing. That there's so much, that's what they know about you. But you see, when this divine turning point comes, every mocker, they swallow their word. Over your life, they will go into hiding. Amen. God will do in your life that will make your mockers to go into hiding. Amen. That is the purpose of a new dawn. Ending an era of shame, of pain, of nothingness. And bringing in a new era of abundance, of glory, of honor, of celebration. When men see you and pray to be like you, you become the envy of people. The envy of the world. When what bring ridicule, shame and reproach around your life, it turn around and they are turned to glory and honor. That is a turning point. That's what my new dawn. It will be your new dawn too. You enjoying it in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. We will move further today. Unlike we did last week, what God expects of you in the new dawn. We have learned what we expect from Him. We expect our turnaround, our new testimonies, our new chapters, new story about us, our breakthroughs, unlimited, and all the rest, the good life we desire. That being our desire, the miracles we want to handle, the blessings we want to carry, the thing we want men to say about us and tell God thank you, those are our expectations. But God also has expectation of you. John, like I said last Sunday, that there's nothing supernatural or every supernatural act cannot stand without human participation. In other words, God will do his own, you will do your own. If you fail to do your own, you cannot hold God responsible if he decides to do his own. So God too has expectation what he wants you to do so that you will aid him to commit his own power and himself unto your desires. And last week, I remember we said one of them is love and worship. You must love God. Above all things, you must love God. God must see his love in your heart, not in your mouth. He himself must look into you like this and see his love in you. And love is very simple to prove. If you love him, you will serve him. If you love him, you will keep his word. If you love him, you will give. If you love him, you will worship him. If you love God, you will not bring God's name into disrepute by your actions. By what you do, what you say, and where you are found. You don't prove love by saying it. You prove love by doing it, by working it out. It's by work, not by word. I can tell somebody I love 1 million times, but you can be the greatest enemy of that fellow. Why? Because the heart of man is what? Desperately what? Wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? Nobody. God wants you to love him, and he's the one who will check your heart and see this love there. You know, you can catch a man in error and you say, oh, he doesn't love God. It's not your responsibility to decide who loves God by one action you saw. It is God. Among all the wrong, I can find the hand of David. God, he called him what? A man after whose heart? But man can condemn him, an adulterer, a murderer, a killer everywhere. Your hand is full of blood. But that is man's judgment. Am I correct? Look, this subject of love, God must be able to see, and then you can't pretend about it. What I just said now should not make you happy. That you are not moved by what people say. No, it should not make you happy. And sometimes also, what men are saying is what God is saying. That is so bad, if that is true of your life. The matter of love for God. Every other thing is the foundation of life. Is also the foundation of excellent life. You can't love God, you can't do well on it. Forget about it. Everything you gather is temporal. And let me tell you, if you love God, does not matter what you are going through today, just relax. You are going to come out of every one of them one by one, and your later ends will be full of glory. Shame will be taken away from it. That's the power of loving God. When you love God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Are you keeping God's commandment? Do you obey him? Are you the hypocrite? If you love him, you are sure he will love you. So every supernatural act or action cannot be without human participation. So these are things we must do for him. And last week, I told you that you must have a commitment into your life. Please, don't leave everything to God. There is no man on earth that God has done everything for without the man participating in it. There's the area of life you will have to cut off to allow God to do his own. There are things you must bring in to allow God to do his own. It is not left for you to sit down and ask yourself questions. A man who prays and prays and prays alone, but does nothing except to pray. Wake up and pray tonight. Tomorrow is praying tonight. His mates have gone to work. Are looking what to do. He will tell you, I'm waiting on who? I'm waiting on God. I believe God will do it. Very soon I'll be translated. I'll be transformed. Just speaking all those. What do I call it? Look, prayer is good, but prayer only empower your effort. Where all that you have is prayer, there's no effort, you will still end up in frustration. And if you are hardworking, all you know is work, is work, is work. Without the spiritual input, you will still also end up in hard life. It every Christian who balance their life, who bring the physical and the spiritual and put them together and balance them on a good scale, they are the people that have excellent life. You are walking, you are walking, you are walking, you are so walking. But there's no spiritual input. Prayer, you can't pray. Read the Bible, you can't read the Bible. Fast, you can't fast. No time to do anything spiritual, but you are hardworking. Hey, you are playing with hard life. Glory to God. If you don't have a serious approach to your life, you can't have a glorious result. Commitment is needed. Just as you must be committed to God, sir, ma, you must have commitment towards your life. Sit down and reflect and talk to yourself. Nobody can talk to you, you will hear, except the one you talk to yourself. You may not hear others, but you hear yourself. Talk to yourself. Is this the life I want to live? What will be the end of this lifestyle? You can do 365 days fasting, but there's no commitment to your life. You will still end up as nobody, as nothing. You end at nothing. It doesn't matter who prophesies over you for prosperity, you will still die poor. It is those who balance their life that live a balanced life. Glory be to God. May God bless you. I say, may God bless you. Last week, we asked for God expectations, and we were able to discuss about four of them. Am I correct? I just mentioned one now, love and worship, and there are other four we added to it. But what we want of time, let's go to today's own, and just one, number five, and that is thanksgiving. What God expects of you, or from you in your new dawn era, is to thank Him always. Psalm 34 verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise are continually be in my mouth. Every day, anywhere I am. It's not whether you are happy or not. It's not whether things you want have come. But it's already a last time. It's right inside of you. I will bless Him at all time. All time means all time. When things are good, you are blessing Him. When it's not, you are blessing Him. When you feel disappointed, you are blessing Him. When you feel appointed, you are blessing Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise are continually, not once in a while. Not when I'm happy. Not when I'm blessed. Continually, every time, to bless Him. When you pray and He didn't answer, no is also an answer. Not every prayer receives yes. Yes is an answer. No is what? It's an answer. And this also commands thanksgiving from you, even the no. That's why I, as a person, if you ask me, can you do this for me? And I said no. And telling me thank you. Yeah, I'm going to call you back. You know why I call you back? Huh? You didn't feel disappointed in me. And I said what? And I said no. But when somebody asked you for a favor, and you said no, I won't do this. Immediately before you there, they show you their disappointment in you. Their mood change. Am I correct? Some can start saying some negative things to you. That is the end of communication with you. If you see anyone who is ungrateful, run away from them. They are not different from Satan. Satan was elevated to be almost next to God, the most powerful angel in heaven that commanded worship in heaven, that ordered the worship of God, mobilized others to worship. He didn't appreciate his position. He was not the one that created the heavens and earth. God created him. He knows that one. But he wanted to overthrow God. That's where you see people who are not grateful. When you give them 5 naira, And you have 20 naira here. They are not looking for the 1.5. That 1.5 naira is no more useful. The one that remains in your hand, that's where the attention is. They are Satan people. Run away from them. They may speak in tongues. I'm sure that was speaking in tongues in heaven when we were leading praise. Was a powerful praise leader, but an ingrate. He never appreciated anything. He wanted to overthrow God and be like God. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. It is a good thing. It is what? A good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto who? Thy name, O Most High. Verse 2. To show forth. Thanksgiving is for showing. Showing forth that you are grateful. Your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness where? At night. You have gone out and everywhere. And then you come back in the night, God, you didn't. You went to look for what to eat. What will eat you on the way didn't meet you. You come back and say, Lord, I thank you for what? Your faithfulness. At night. If you can't give God thanks, sorry, if you can't give men thanks, you can't thank God. You know why? First John has given us the foundation. You say, how can a man say, I love God, when he refused to love the man that what? That he can see. Say you can't love God, who you don't see, when you cannot love the man that you see. It also implies that you can never be a grateful person to God. If you match the head and the face and speak evil of your past helpers and see if they are nobody, they are nothing, they are not grateful. So thanksgiving is one of God's expectation. One of his expectations about us in our new dawn. Want to express a new dawn? God expects you to run away from murmuring and complaining. So as we expect God to bless us, to do great things in our life, he also expects us to be thankful. To have this attitude of thankfulness. Nothing is too small to appreciate. Nothing. Nothing. It may not be to what you want, but the person has made an effort. It could just be giving you direction to somewhere. He stopped. You pause his activity for him to tell you, no, go right or go left. Please appreciate it. It must not always go in your own way. Tell God, I'm grateful. Appreciating God every time, each day you are up on your bed, give him thanks. And remain thankful to God at all times. When you remain like this, you gladden God's heart. God will be happy with you. You won't talk for too long before he answers you. Some of our prayer life is not attracting heaven. Because it's 99.9 requests and only 0.001 thanksgiving. In fact, you will have forgotten that you will thank God. And what has blocked our ear from hearing God's direction and his voice even when we pray is because we don't thank him. So we are perpetually shut outside his court. We have not even entered his gate. Most who pray and pray and pray. I remember one day, years back, I think we were still in this, under this gallery. We had another night here. And some three guys came in. We don't know them. But I think they came to pray. And what was he doing? They just is. Say, this church, don't they pray? And walk away. If you are here, all that you know is to kneel down, speak in tongues. That's why your life, nobody can desire anything from you. And look at those guys, they look unfed. Quasuckered. It's not fasting that destroyed their life. It's lack of sense. In that if you are a good thanksgiver, it affects your skin. It's the greatest cream you can use. Wrinkles will disappear from your life. Go and try it. It's not age. I don't have wrinkles on my hands. And by grace of God, I'm over 60 years. It's not just stressing my mind. Always grateful. Always grateful. What I have, I'm grateful. What I don't have, I'm grateful for it. But you see, 40-year-old man, and you, when you want to greet him at 60, you tell him, Baba. But it's like your child in the house. They have overused their life. They don't understand this secret. That when you are full of thanksgiving, your life, relax. It affects every fiber of your body, not only your spirit. You look younger, you look better, you look healthier. Do you know that thanksgiving is a confirmation of your spirituality? Thanksgiving confirm how spiritual you are. It's not how many Bible you quote. Are you ungrateful or you are grateful? Are you thankful or not? The level of your spirituality is measured. You are spiritual to the extent of your thanksgiving. You are spiritual to the extent of your thanksgiving. If you don't know how to give God thanks, forget about it. You can't thank men. Some of you have been in the office working with either a man or maybe government, companies. You have never in your life appreciated that person. Walk up to her or to him. We just finished December. You are expecting bonus from him, but you don't have bonus for them. And it's a one-man business. You are killing yourself. You will always be in lack. You always to collect. Say, I don't get money like him. You can never get like him. Never. With that attitude. What will it cost you if you carry your November salary to the market? Look at what the man like. And spend over or around 50% of that salary to buy something he likes and go and give him or go and give her. He said, wait, I'm going to chop. Assuming he didn't pay you for November, are you going to go and hang yourself like Judas Iscariot? I ask you a question. Will you commit suicide? You don't know the message you have sent to him. I cannot tell you, you gave him 50% worth of what salary, you will get 500 worth of return from him. This is how things work. Wife who can't tell their husband, thank you. Not being married me. That's why you're tying like one rapper for 6 months. Will I be tying one every week? If you know how to spin his head with thanksgiving. They give you 10,000 and go and buy food. At the end of the month, you collect with left hand. Say, waiting with this 10,000 naira with all these children. Why don't you kneel down? What did I say? Kneel down. You are his wife. And bless him. And hold his two legs. How much? 10,000 of her. Only me. And my children. Give us 10,000. My husband, God will bless you. God will increase you. If he hide money under the socks of his shoe, as you kneel down, before you stand up, he will remove that shoe. You never know, man.
But he had told you that, hey, see me. Cobble I not get again. Your thanksgiving will make him bring where he hide the money. He will say, Mama James. Okay. Okay. And they come. But when you shout on him, he won't tell you bye-bye. He will just pass the back door of the lady. Before you know, he has gone. You even go out and you are cursing him. Mama James, you don't go. You can't meet me here. The man not here, you don't go. Thanksgiving is very powerful. What did I say? Very powerful. It's powerful than money. Where you know how to use it well. Your level of appreciation shows how spiritual you are. So thanksgiving to God and to man is very essential. Be thankful. Be thankful. It implies spirituality. It's not carnal. Can I tell you, church, that thanksgiving is not less spiritual than prayer and fasting. It's not less spiritual than reading the Bible and meditating on it. It's not less spiritual than winning, than soul winning. It's not. It's not less spiritual than giving. It's as potent as prayer and fasting. When you are giving to prayer, when 80% of your request to God is thanksgiving, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. You know that when a man has made thanksgiving his lifestyle, every word he speaks, intermittently, you'll be hearing something like, glory be to God. His mouth or his language has been what? Configured to always say something that appreciates men or appreciates God. And also, it's not difficult to know people who are ungrateful, who has not been as spiritual to give thanks. The language of their mouth also show defeat every time. It show lack and want. It show suffering. Hey. Nicky, I don't blame you now. You are doing like this. Your brother has money. Me now, see me. Only me are there. Nobody. And look at my younger sister. Look at my younger brother. Look at my cousin. I have to give them money. That's the only thing. Anytime they see you, is complain. Okay? Change that life. If not, your name done is questionable. One principal thing that you must not fail in doing every day, telling God what? Thank you. Even in the midst of that lack of that miracle. Even though it has not happened, that miracle has not taken place, please thank him. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thanksgiving works, and God expects nothing less than thanksgiving from you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It takes carnality, just as it takes spirituality to give thanks. It takes carnality to complain and murmur. You can't be a murmurer or a complainer until you are carnal. Until you are walking in the flesh. Until your spirit go dead. Until the lamp of your life be put off. You will never appreciate anything again. You can't be grateful and still murmur and complain. You can't be caught in complaining and murmuring. Never. I mean, while you have a grateful heart. And people who are spiritual are thanksgivers. They always give thanks. The carnal one, the one that are complaining. They complain about APC, about PDP, about ADC, about PCS, about everything that comes to Nigeria, they must complain. If your father becomes the president, he will still complain. Complainers. No matter what is the condition of your life, please resolve to thanksgiving.
is the cheapest and the shortest cut to come out of it. Than murmuring. And when you do that, you are doing the will of God for you. That's the purpose why you are alive. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. People who are spiritual are very, very thankful. Let's read. In everything, do what? Huh? When you're happy, when you lost somebody, when you find money, when you find a new job, when you lose your job, so give thanks in everything. This is the will of God for me and for you in Christ Jesus. So when we are doing thanksgiving, we are operating the will of God. That's why every last Sunday of the month, it can't fail. I must come here, appear before God and bring my offering. And tell him, Lord, I'm grateful. You have kept me and everyone here. It's not because I'm your pastor. No. If you are not here, my family will still be here. Won't I thank God for them? What of my own life? That God didn't turn me into a beggar, but made me a supplier. Every last Sunday I must come. Today I'm coming. You hear me? Today what is going to happen? I'm coming. If God keep me alive, end of next month, I'm what? Thanksgiving is so sweet. If you understand the power of it. If God had allowed me, I would be doing thanksgiving every day in the church. And I'd be coming with offering. To tell him, thank you. You can't be limited when you're a thanksgiver. Never. Because this is the will of God for me. This is the will of God for you. The ungrateful people, they have this entitlement mentality. If you have it, go and kill it. If you don't kill it, it will kill you. Afro is my father. When I call my children together, all of them in the house. I told her, I said, Azumi, in this house, I don't give you food again. I don't send to school. And the money I have is only for me and my wife. And you see that in the parlor, we see that in the dining. And you see the fried chicken and turkey and eat it. And the call one of you, come and help us pack this plate. And what help us wash? I ask all of three of you, what will you do to me? They are not big like now, they may be able to beat me. But that time they are still very, I can squeeze life out of them easily with my wife as a deputy wrestler. They just look at me and say, that is nothing. I said, there's nothing you will do for me. That I give you food, pay your school fees, wake up in the morning and drop in school with the motto. Will that be what? Be grateful. It's not a right. And I ask them, are there no people in your school they send away for school fees? He said, plenty. Have they one day asked you, have you paid? He said, never. Because as far as me, we pay. But people that who they send away from who are not paying school fees, they are human beings too, they have father and mother. They won't go home and go and kill their father and their mother. While I was in primary school, my lunch is in the farm. And there's no breakfast in the morning. We go to school, we close at 12:30. So we come and drop our box and trek like from here to Rigachuku. Yes, our farm. We don't do farm like Kadunok farm by one plot. Go and do farm. No. You will go where there's no end to feed. Just go there. You can't, if you don't shout, you can't see somebody in the farm. How to you? Woo! Then the person will tell you where he is. The old two will do the same thing. When we get to farm, could be around 2 o'clock or after 2. Our yam is already boiled. The day we catch bushrat, praise God. Otherwise, na yellow. Are you hearing me? That's where me I come from. When I was using okra to eat yam, my children would say, dirty. They want egg. I tell you, I say, you don't know where I come from. This is what we eat in the farm. We use okra to eat yam. They boil the yam and put the okra on top. Oh my God. And they burn you where you eat that okra. And don't go and meet your father. I say what? If, I know their hand is very strong because of famine. If they give you one slap, abuse your mother. Your mother is there. They will abuse your mother. There. Whether your mother is the one that do the farm. They taught us, we don't know all these principles are spiritual like this. But can I tell you, it's the best way of life. I want to beg you, church, destroy mentality. I have a title. You have no right to anybody's wealth. Nothing, including your father. I have a house. I can win my house to somebody that I don't know. And when I die, my children will come and say they want to carry their father's house. And somebody will just come and say, my dad just come and say, no, this house I'll be giving to one somebody in Sokoto State. What will my children do? They'll go and bring out my coffin and put inside fire. Nothing. This is no entitlement. It is what is given to you that becomes your entitlement. Therefore, appreciate it. Give us Exodus 16, 10, 1 to 4. We'll be sharp, sir. Exodus 16, let's read. In Exodus, you know the story, 14, or from 12, 14, and 15, they left Egypt. Am I correct? 6 weeks after they left, 6 weeks, let's see what they did. I got this, no work. You go, I go beat you. So where is this one? Yes. Is that was one? Okay, 16:1. And they took their journey. And then they moved. Now look at it. On the 15th day of what? After they did what? That's 6 weeks. Am I not correct? That's 6 weeks. 15 is half of the second month. That means 1 month before. So 2 + 4. 6 weeks after they left, with all the miracles they saw in Egypt, the plague that God brought upon the people that oppressed them, and how God brought them out. Not just that, they saw the miracle at the Red Sea. There are people you can't satisfy. You can never please a carnal person. Somebody who's all after material things, financial things, or you can never, if you die, you die for nothing. Just 6 weeks. Come and hear their language. Give us verse 2, sir. Okay. And the whole congregation of children of Israel, what they do? They murmur. Just 6 weeks. They have forgotten all the miracles. And what happened here? They needed food. Hear the language, verse 3. Let's go. Verse 3 and 4. And then they said unto Moses, unto them, would to God we had died where? In the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Can you hear? They cried there for help. God helped them. Now they are regretting that God helped them. Tell me, and there are people like that. Tell me, what do you do for me? The garlic you gave me, you no get taste, but you drank it. Even the rice you gave me has sand inside. And you're not as if you gave me something good. That fish and that meat is already getting spoiled, but you ate it. May God forgive some people. Oh.
I mean, are you God won't forgive? Glory to God. They're not talking about what? Eating flesh. And when we did eat bread, to the what? To the full. Even watermelon is inside. Wilderness, everything they want to eat. He said, now we are hungry. This is the way people think who are ingrate. It is the oil in your hand, when it is still oily, they lick it for you. If the oil they come back tomorrow and the oil is dry, what happened? They forgot when they lick the oil. This chief human being here. And if you go to verse 4, they start speaking nonsense against God. Okay, God gave them food here in verse 4. Then later there was no water, the same thing. It's not because they had bad memory. They have good memory because they could remember the pot in Egypt, the onions, the garlic they were eating. They could remember that one. So they don't have bad memory. It's just that their heart, they are on people who are not grateful. I'm very ungrateful. If you can't give thanks, you can't go forward. You want speed in your life. Embrace the power of thanksgiving. And let me tell you, appreciate everything. Don't have this mentality that, I'm entitled to this. Entitled to what? To nothing. One day I sat down and said, I'm not even, assuming somebody is still paying me, I'm not even entitled to my salary. Isn't that something strange? If they don't pay you, what do you go do? You go to court. I say, yes, I owe them. But I don't get. The case is over. How are you going to pay? I will be paying small, small. And the person won't punish you, carry the money, go court. They will not give you the money. Go pay transport, go court. Maybe so. And when you get to court, you'll be paying tight. Because the money, you know, complete again. This entitlement mentality. See, this is our church. You should take care of us. Are you taking care of the church? What you want men to do for you, can you do it for them? And easier to say, yeah, I can do it because you don't have. When you have it, you won't do it. That's the truth. All of you promised your father limousine and aeroplane when you were small. That my daddy, I'll buy you aircraft. My mommy, I'll buy you motor. Now you are earning salary, you are taking up to 20,000 naira. How many times have you carried the money all and go and dash your mother and your father? Some of you don't even have provision for your father and your mother. Not even one of you ten kobo. You swallow everything, forget that you have parents. Don't be ungrateful and don't be unthankful. It's very dangerous. People are not grateful. They never remember yesterday. The past miracles, the past healings, the past blessing they're enjoying, either from God or from men, organizations, they forget about it. So let their own. They have this entitlement mentality. Please destroy it. Whatever anybody do for you, it's a bonus. It's not a right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Thanksgiving is a major component of spirituality. Can I tell you? And unthankfulness is also a major component of carnality.
Let's look at the benefit of thanksgiving. Number one. But know that thanksgiving is more than just saying word of mouth, sweet word of mouth. Speaking lovely words to God and to men. Thanksgiving go beyond that. It is honoring God and men. Showing them their place in your life. You know, there are people that you can give 5,000 to. And in their life, that 5,000 is like 10 million to them at that point. Am I correct? But you see, if they are not very thankful, they can't say to you the importance of this 5,000 at this present time. They pretend as if they have even more than 50 million. This is only just what? An addition. I've encountered many people like that. But that's first and last. But I won't say a word. But I'll finish with you. It's a younger brother of Satan. One day he wants to overthrow me. Number one, thanksgiving pleases God. God is glad when you thank him. Not just when you thank him, when you make thanksgiving your lifestyle, you gladden the heart of God. So pleasant to God when you give thanks. And you also do his will, as we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. You are also doing the will of God. And when a man do the will of God, God, he cannot lack God's presence and God's help. John 8 and verse 29. Just say, my Father has not left me. My Father who sent me is always with me. He has never left me. Because I do what? The thing that places him. That means when you are giving thanks, you secure God's presence. And if God be for you, what did the Bible say? Nobody can be against you. And if nobody can be against you, that means nothing also can be against you. Thanksgiving brings you to that point. God is happy. You are doing what he likes. You are doing what he wants you to do for him. He will also do what you want him to do for you. But when there's complaint, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. What will this one do for me? This one cannot solve my problem. I told my daughter, the burden you can't put on your father, me here, don't put on any man on earth. In the name of I marry you. You are my husband. And so what? Will it not be good to you if your wife buy you motor? Men talk. You know, go happy. You just come home, your wife just say, take care, my darling. How are you? Say take care. And You know, go drive, huh? Except they don't cost you for village. So why say a woman put body? Now you marry me. All those things, please leave it. We also want to drive your car. Am I correct? Want to spend your money. Just as we too should give you a car and you spend our money. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. When you do for, you get it. When you do what pleases people, they will do what you want them to do for you. It's a divine mandate. This is the will of God for you in Christ. It's a divine mandate. And so God is pleased when you're operating within the mandate. When you're doing what the mandate says you should do. It's our assignment on earth. It's our call. Everybody has a call. We are called to give thanks to God. We are called to praise him. First and foremost, we must be used to thanksgiving. Number two, thanksgiving is a requirement for the multiplication of your blessing. When your blessing multiplied, thanksgiving is the answer. John 6 and verse 9 and 10, 11 and 12. 1 John 6,
where he took the bread that was seemingly too small, he will have complained. We have 5,000 men. The women are not included in this 5,000 and the children. So how can I give? What do you have? This small bread and this. He did complain. He took it to God, who can multiply it. And what did he do? He didn't even make a request. The Bible says he gave thanks. Are we there?
But there's a lad here which have 5 belly bread or loaves and 2 fishes.
But they answer themselves, but what are they among what? So many people. That means we don't have enough. The man that brought the idea also concluded that it is useless bringing this.
Now let's go verse 10 to, no, 11. Give me to 11. And Jesus took the bread. And when he has what?
Give me thanks. When you want anything to be multiplied in your life, it's not prayer you need. It's thanksgiving. The hour you take around to go and beg for school, for house rent. Give thanks. Food will appear. House rent will appear. New job will appear. Favor will appear. He gave thanks. Not more than just give thanks. And that was all. And then heaven opened.
Verse 12, am I correct? Yes. What is verse 12, sir? And when they were filled, can you hear now? That's the result of thanksgiving. He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragment that nothing be lost. No waste. That means they had enough. They had remaining. Those who came with takeaway had taken their own away. But yet they have some left. How did he multiply? Thanksgiving. The key to supernatural supply and increase is thanksgiving. So it is thanksgiving to engage when what you have is not enough for you. I want it to multiply. You want even not just multiply, you want the blessing secured and kept. And if any blessing is missing in your life, what you need to bring it is thanksgiving. Don't let any thought that weigh you down because you have a challenge in your life. Either it's your health, it's your business, it's your marriage, whatever it is, and weigh you down will also stop you from giving thanks. And whatever stops you from giving thanks has stopped your going, has stopped your blessing, has stopped your joy, has put an end to progress in that area. Probably you are weeping. My life is different. Why is it only me in the world? It's not only you in the world, but that thing is good for you. And God wants to bring something good out of it after. Allow him. Go through the trial and the temptations. Go through the pain with joy and give him thanks. By the time he bring you out, you'll be like a refined gold. Well, number 3.
It is an antidote to bitterness. You can't be thankful and still remain bitter against anybody or against yourself or against anything. Because the joy, you will need joy to give thanks. It kills bitterness. It kills envy. It kills covetousness. When a man is giving to thanksgiving, you can't see him bitter against anybody. He just move on. There's even no room for that in his life. It's not possible.
It's a killer of bitterness. Want to come out of it? Want to bitter in your life? Please embrace thanksgiving. Number 4.
Thanksgiving focuses your mind on the right matter or right subject. Focus your mind on the right subject. When you are giving to thanksgiving and the challenge comes to your life, it focuses your mind on God rather than yourself and others. You will blame people less. You will fix the problem and not the blame. It makes you focus. You know, when people have talents, they put the blame on somebody. Now, this one I call Sam. It's my father. It's my mother. It's my this. When you dwell on that, you will never be able to give thanks. And can I tell you, church? Any challenge of life that cannot receive thanksgiving can also live your life. Give God thanks and see how God turn you around and do great things in your life and give you joy. Glory be to God. And lastly, thanksgiving strengthens your faith. When you give God thanks, your faith is strengthened. You can pray, and after prayer, you may doubt your prayer. Fear can grip your heart after you have prayed. Will it happen? Oh, will it not happen? Will God do it? But just finish prayer. But not thanksgiving. Because of the joy that we erupt within you. You can't get engaged in doubt and unbelief when your life has been patterned after thanksgiving. I want to pray with everyone here. Make it a lifestyle. Make it a lifestyle. Can what I say? Make it a lifestyle. Tell yourself, I will always give God thanks. That's the will of God for you. More money is not part of your life. Complaining is not part of your life. That seemingly small business, small capital, it will grow if you are going to be able to thank God for it. If you are not going to your shop to go and cry and say, look at every shelf now, all the shelves are empty. Oh God. Give thanks that you have a shop. You find that it will grow. Whatever is not working in your life, want thanksgiving. Face it with thanksgiving. Not once in a while, but every time, every day. All the time. Give God thanks right now. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your life.